Welcome to the second episode of Conversations on Transformation, our series of interviews from the STEG Annual Conference 2024. My name is Tim Phillips, and I'm at NYU Abu Dhabi to talk to the experts who understand the challenges and opportunities of structural transformation and economic growth. Yao Nyarko of NYU splits his time between New York, Abu Dhabi, and his native Ghana, where he's deeply involved in policies to improve the lives of the people who live there. In the last few years, he has led a project to create ways for farmers to sell their produce for a fairer price. But as he told me when we met, it hasn't been an easy or a straightforward task. Welcome, Yao, or as the farmers that you work with in Ghana call you, welcome, Prof.
Exactly. Great to be here.
Yeah, we are going to be talking about those farmers today. As someone who started out in economic theory, you are now very engaged with the reality of life, specifically for those farmers. You started out by saying that there may be many problems in Africa, but ambition and dynamism, these are not a problem.
That is correct. Many times you hear people saying, well, the problem with Africa is people don't know what to do. People don't want to adopt technology. Mm-hmm. People don't want to push themselves. That's not the reality. The reality is that there are many challenges, but there are people who will rise to those challenges. If the markets are there, if the structure is appropriately configured, they will rise to the occasion. These are very hardworking, very ambitious people. They want to make things work. So our jobs as economists, theoretical economists, if you will, is just to look at what's going on and just give them the space to do what they need to do.
So tell me a little bit about the life of a maize farmer in Ghana who produces this product, works very hard to produce it, but of course then has to sell it. What's the problem with the market there?
Right. So let me just preface this by saying, you know, of course, there are many kinds of maize farmers. Mm-hmm. I am looking at those at the very, very bottom. There are a large number of those at the very, very bottom, you know, so there may be a few for whom everything works perfectly, but for the broad majority of the people, their lives are as follows, okay? So first of all, many of them can find land, but just can't find the capital to work with. Mm-hmm. They go through all the different processes. They produce their maize, and then they're essentially sitting at the farm gate and just waiting for prices to move. Yeah. Sometimes they have to wait for the appropriate trader to come in to negotiate with them. It's risky for them as well. So they're scared. Who do they sell to? Somebody will come in and say, hey, I'm going to give you a high price. They'll take your maize only to decide later on, hey, I don't have any money anymore. I'll give it to you in a month. I'll give it back in 2 months. That's the money. Mm-hmm. So the markets are very risky.
Your first idea about this was a commodity exchange, a Ghana commodity exchange. That sounds amazing. What is it?
The problem we found initially was that farmers have to sit at their farm gate. Traders will go to the farmers, haggle with the farmers, set a price. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if you had a national market where everybody knows the price today for maize is something, 500 Ghana cedis for a big bag of maize, 150 kg, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so national commodity exchange is one where markets are always made. There are always many buyers as well as many sellers. And so it's a big national thing. Think of the Chicago Board of Trade, okay?
Yeah.
All right. And so our initial thought was that that's exactly what Ghana needs. It wasn't there. When you go somewhere and there's something wrong, something bad, in this case, market's not working that well, and you see that there's something missing, your initial thought is, hey, just bring this missing thing there, plunk it in there, and everything is going to be okay. And to be frank, that's what I thought. I just thought that this missing thing, bring it in there and it's going to take off like wildfire.
And this is not a small undertaking, either from your point of view, having to get it organized, has to be set up, requires capital. It also requires behavior change from the farmers because they have to be able to produce the maize and weight, quality, everything like that. So putting that together, you would think that it would all been sold once you'd done that part of it. What happened?
Well, the commodity exchange, it came on. It had some success.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I was just thinking, this is going to be major. It's going to be in the newspapers all the time. Everybody's going to be talking about the commodity exchange every day. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. It was good. It was successful, but not relative to our ambitions. Ambitions were that 60, 70% of all maize, for example, produced in the country would be traded through the exchange. We're nowhere near that. It was our belief that 60, 70% of all soya that's traded in the nation will be traded through the commodity exchange. Those were the ambitions. No, it didn't happen.
What did you do about it?
First of all, I was a little bit saddened.
Well, yes.
You know, we all thought it was going to be this huge success and people would be patting us on the back or something. So the first solution we said was, well, maybe the problem is the following. Many of the farmers, when you talk to them about a national commodity exchange, it's strange to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's this big foreign thing. They don't quite understand it. Furthermore, the Ghana Commodity Exchange had warehouses, very good warehouses, but in the regional capitals, which means that if you're a small-scale farmer in a village, you got to figure out how to get to that regional capital,
of course.
How to send your maize there, how to talk to somebody over there. And, you know, at an individual level, it's a daunting task.
Mm-hmm.
So our intervention was then that let's create a nano version of this. Let's go to the village level and all the core pieces of this national exchange, let's replicate that at the village level. The farmers will bring their maize. We will invite traders from all across the nation to come to the village,
mm-hmm.
to the small area. So the farmers are going to a place that they understand, that's familiar to them. They're talking to people in their native language, for example. These are all important things for the farmer. So we believed that once we do that, then we thought that the only obstacle was the fact that it's far away. It's in a foreign place to these farmers. It's all going to be in English. Many of these farmers can't speak English.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if we can do the same thing in a small community, in the villages, close to them, everything will work. That's what we thought.
And did it?
I'm sad to say that was our second round of failure. And again, let me just preface it by saying we did get some trades.
Mm-hmm.
Things were happening. But again, relative to our investment of time and energy, relative to our ambitions, it wasn't that great.
So this time round, you were getting that process going. You had the buyers sitting opposite from the farmers. The farmers brought their product. They could negotiate.
Yes.
That part of it was working well. But what stood in the way?
That part was working well. So again, first to identify what we're saying didn't work well. What didn't work well is just the volume.
Okay.
Okay. So some people were coming in. We had decent numbers, but we had to really work hard and beg and plead for these farmers to bring their things. Everybody would say it would be great. Everybody was encouraging us, each of the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you looked at the final volumes, just wasn't there.
So what were the farmers doing with the rest of their crop then?
Well, that's the question we were asking ourselves, because
mm-hmm.
all of them will come and they'll say, this thing is wonderful. This thing is going to work. Dear prof, keep going. This is a wonderful idea. But then nothing happens, okay? What did we do? We went into the farms. I tried to have as few of my staff people with me as possible
okay.
so I could get to the root of the problem. Shame on me. I should have known this ahead of time, but I didn't. It turns out that there was an issue with credit, a very particular issue,
mm-hmm.
which economists had studied some 40 years ago that I hadn't really paid enough attention to. Many of these farmers don't have money to run their farms, to get a tractor to clear the land,
right.
to buy weedicide, fertilizer that you're going to need,
mm-hmm.
to transport the maize from the farm to a selling point. These are extremely poor farmers. So at the beginning of the farming season, they have no money.
Right.
They go to the traders and say, hey, trader, I need to get some money from you. The traders then have a loan contract. It's not written. It's a verbal agreement where they say, in exchange for my giving you money, you will do the following. All the maize from your farm, all of it, at the end of the harvest has to go to me, the trader, to sell. Part of it I'll sell to repay the loan I gave you at the beginning of the season, incidentally, at extremely high interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And even that part that's not needed to repay the debt, you're obligated to channel it through me so I get some profit from it, maybe not as much as the earlier chunk, but at least I get something. So these farmers at the beginning of the trading season have essentially signed away all of their maize.
I see. So they're locked into this, and next year they will have this same hungry season again,
exactly,
where they have to go looking for credit again.
Exactly, exactly. That's what we discovered.
So the maize just isn't there for them to trade.
That's correct.
On the exchange that you set up.
That's exactly right.
What can you do about this?
I thank the funders of my research. We got some research money to run some pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And again, given the fact that we had made some mistakes, not mistakes, but failures in the first two rounds, we decided that before we started saying anything, saying that credit is the issue, we need to go in there and test that hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there and started playing the role of a trader. So we got some money, and at the beginning of the season, and we've done it for four seasons now, we'll give the farmer some money and say, hey, if you'd like to work with us, here is some money to start your maize production. We just wanted to see what would happen, because maybe they'll say, even that we don't want from you. And so we're playing the role of the traders. And the innovation we had was we wouldn't give them cash, but all their needs. So the tractor, the weedicide, the fertilizer, the transport money, all of that we'll give to the vendor, the tractor driver, the chemicals seller. Okay. Mm-hmm. We give them the money that way. And so we're essentially playing the role of a trader.
You've now moved from being a theoretical economist to a credit broker and an agricultural services provider.
Exactly right. And a bank. It's like I'm, you know, it's like I'm playing the role of a bank here, you know.
So how well did the Bank of Yao work by comparison?
I like that name. So it was a huge success.
Right.
Huge success.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who we gave the credit to, not only did they really want the credit, but all of them, they're paying back. They are working very hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely productive. Many of them are telling me about the fact that since we've given them the credit and they were able to do their farming work, some of them have built houses.
Wow.
It's just wonderful to see. So on the front of the farmers themselves, all of them are very happy with it. You know you're successful when these farmers are calling you up and asking for more and asking us to include their friends and relatives and community members because it's such a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, now anytime we run these nano commodity exchanges, we've got tons of farmers.
Yes.
Okay? Tons of farmers. Everybody is bringing their maize to us. It's a big success.
And it's a great story. You might want to be careful about giving your phone number out in the future.
That's right.
But you can't go on being the center of this credit arrangement forever. There must be other credit institutions that could take this up. What are the plans for that?
Yeah, so just to repeat, in case I gave the wrong impression, I'm an economist.
Yeah.
I am doing research.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there on a mission to find out what works and what does not work.
Yeah.
Once I've done that, I'll write it all up and I'll spread it to the world. Hopefully, governments, banks, institutions, they will take it up. That's their job. My job is just to say the things that work and the things that don't work. So everything I'm doing so far has been at the pilot level. If you ask me, though, I think it's fairly straightforward how this can scale.
Mm-hmm.
A conversation needs to be had with the banks so that they can do their lending along the lines we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got some strategies for that. The nano commodity exchanges that we've constructed, we should do that across the nation, and then feed that into the national commodity exchange, which is already in existence, but needs to have bigger volumes. I am the economist thinking about what works and does not work. I am not the politician. I'm not the government. I'm not a bank. But I have to do those things in a tiny bit so we can figure out what works and what does not work.
What's it going to take for these small farmers to be more creditworthy from the point of view of the banks?
I believe that they are credit worthy.
Mm-hmm.
They are worthy of the credit. I have been given credit to them, and so far I have zero defaults, okay? So they are credit worthy. The issue is more of how do we get the banks to be able to figure out how to deliver credit to those people?
Right.
Currently, their systems don't work, okay? Mm-hmm. I have been able to be successful in giving credit. And don't forget, before I went there, there were the traders, the local traders. And the local traders would be giving money to the farmers. And they were also very, very successful. They figured out how to do it. And so it's the big banks. How do we get them to be as nifty as the traders, to be able to follow the processes I have followed? That's the issue. How is that going to happen? I believe that, first of all, we will tell our story to the banks. I am going to be inviting some banks to our areas so they can see what we're doing. Mm. And probably a little bit of a nudge from the Ghana government and from the central bank. You know, it's a little bit too easy for the banks right now. Banks will buy government paper and earn very, very large interest rates.
Yes.
So the incentive for them to work hard is not really there. There may come a time when the easy money will disappear. And so probably our message to the banks is start figuring this out so that when that money tap from the government giving you easy interest turns off, you have something else there.
And you have government support at the moment?
Well, I don't work formally with the government.
No.
But anytime I talk to the government, they're all really very supportive of me. We run a warehouse in our study area that was provided by the government because they noticed the work that we are doing. So the government has been supportive. The government, of course, has lots of things on its mind. But anytime we talk to the government, they are really supportive.
You've always been a big proponent of technology
Yes.
as a way to achieve transformations like this.
Yes.
How big a part does this have to play?
I think it has a huge part to play, okay? It's the way things are done. You know, what is a commodity exchange? A commodity exchange is really just a big computer where people's bids and asks are matched. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Our non-commodity exchange is just our mobile phones and people communicating with each other. You have farmers who live in hard to reach areas.
Mm-hmm.
The physical infrastructure is not that great. However, you can reach all of them on the mobile phone. And so you can deliver information, you can deliver services, you can tell them what the prices are, you can arrange a pickup date for their maize, all on the mobile phone. So if you can put all of that in a computerized system, that's a market right out there. It would be as if we're all in the same room. But meanwhile, we're all in very, very disparate, disjoint areas, many, many miles apart. And by the way, two farmers may be barely 5-6 miles away, but if there are no roads, it's as if they're 100 miles away.
You understand how markets function. You understand these communities. You grew up in Ghana.
Yes.
So you understand how farming works and how exchanges work. You still had to learn by trial and error.
Yes.
And it's, and one lesson from this, I guess, is if you want to improve the lives of people like maize farmers, hundreds of millions of people across Africa who could be in the same position, you sort of got to get out from behind a desk and go and work in these communities, don't you, as an economist?
Yes, yes, yes. So one of the things we like to do in economics is to build fancy models, okay? And I love building fancy models too, don't get me wrong, okay? I have my standard models and, you know, write down a simplistic model and then put all the mathematical machinery I have on that particular model. I enjoyed it. I've done it myself. But there's a real world out there. And I find that I get a different kind of enjoyment from doing the real things. Because these are now real people. So if you have an innovation, it's influencing a real person. So if you want to have an impact in that second area, yes, get off your desks, get into the field, talk to people, okay? And just think it through. My training as a theoretical economist has enabled me, as I'm talking to farmers on a one-to-one basis in the local language, I'm translating it all into economics and economic theory. So having that background with specialized fancy models is helpful in interpreting what the farmers are saying, okay? However, you can't only do the fancy models. You've got to get into the field and figure out what the issues are there. If I may also add, there's an enjoyment to that. Anybody who does theoretical economics, what do? You're trying to figure out things and write it down mathematically. That's what we do. Think of this as another set of problems. Much more interesting problems, if you ask me. You may say, well, I was doing theory and I've changed my mind and I'm going into the field and now I'm doing real stuff. That's not what's going on. I've always been an economist. When I started, I was writing pen and paper models. Later on, I'm going into the field, I'm creating institutions, but I'm still being an economist. And I'm still writing these things down in economic models. And as a further encouragement for senior faculty, it's a whole lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun, you know? I have colleagues who, after a while, just get a little bit bored with mm-hmm. the same stuff that they're doing. I'm not bored. I'm tired, but I'm not bored. I love it. All of this could be a failure. We'll do all this work and nothing happens. But there is the potential for very, very big, transformative, structurally transformative activities on the ground. You get up in the morning, that's what gives you the drive to continue going. This may work. It may fail, but it may work. And if it works, as you correctly said, think of all these millions of people whose lives may be changed because of some innovation that you were a part of bringing to be. And that's why are we on the planet.
Tiring.
Yep.
But inspiring.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much for talking about it today. We will talk again. But for now, yeah, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much for inviting me. Really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Have been listening to Conversations on Transformation, recorded live at the STEG Annual Conference Week 2024 at NYU Abu Dhabi. STEG stands for Structural Transformation and Economic Growth, and you can find out more about it at steg.cepr.org.